Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right. Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome to the Week 4 preview for the Bills-Packers on Sunday. Nate, is the national media in Vegas being unfair to the Bills by giving the Packers, you know, a minus 10 line for the game Sunday?
I don't think it's completely unfair just because of what the Bills did the first 2 weeks of the season, but I think you have to take the last six quarters of football into account a little bit more. I think if I was handicapping this game, I would have the line as maybe the Packers favored by a touchdown and half a point, so 7.5 points. I think 10 is too much. I understand a touchdown or a little more than a touchdown, though, because it is Buffalo going to Lambeau Field.
Yeah, definitely. The Packers deserve to be a favorite. There's no disputing that, and a solid favorite at that. I think 10's a bit much. I think somewhere in the 6.5 to 8.5 range would probably be a bit more accurate, given the Packers' injury situation, how well the Bills have played the last six quarters, and the fact that the Packers' defense just really isn't that great, and the Bills just dismantled the Vikings defense, who, you know, are supposed to be pretty good. So I don't know. I think they're being slightly unfair, and it might take another game or two of the Bills showing some competence for those lines to come down. But if you're someone that likes to gamble, I would probably take the Bills if they're getting 10 points.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. And I think the Bills match up fairly well against the Packers, given what the Packers struggle with and what the Bills like to do. Not the Packers are certainly a more talented team overall, but I think and they have the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, which is kind of a big handicap. But I think the Bills are going to keep this closer than a lot of people expect.
Yeah, I mean, especially we've seen the Packers struggle the last week too against, I believe it was the Redskins, and that's not a team that really scares anyone. So it basically falls all on Aaron Rodgers' right arm, and he can't move around too well right now, and that might be a problem if the Bills can get pressure like they did against the Vikings. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Packers try to deal with Jerry Hughes and the other Bills pass rushers, because the Vikings had no answer for it.
So Alex, what are three specific things you think the Bills need to do well to have a chance to win this weekend at Lambeau Field?
So as we talked about in the All-22 review of the Bills-Vikings game, the Bills got pressure and they got it quick, sometimes just rushing for, sometimes bringing the blitz. But you have to make Aaron Rodgers get the ball out quick and not let him just pick apart zone coverage all game for 8 to 12 yards of play, because you're going to be losing and playing from behind, and you don't want that. So you have to get pressure on him. He can't move all that well. I mean, he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in history. So, I mean, you're still going to get burnt a few times, but I don't know. You just have to make him rush through things and trust your linebackers and your defensive backs to tackle.
Yeah, and that's one of mine as well. I think that's the most important thing, is getting pressure. Because you saw what getting pressure, even to the greatest quarterbacks, makes them struggle. It makes them have to play faster. It takes away some of their options. And I think against a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, especially when his knee self-admittedly has not gotten any better since he hurt it, he still is really having a hard time doing any kind of lateral movements. Getting in his face will make a huge difference on Sunday.
Yeah, so my second thing the Bills have to do to have a chance to win against the Packers is control the clock. We saw how that worked against the Vikings, where the Bills had the ball a lot. It was partly because they forced turnovers, but they need to keep the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands, because the Packers aren't going to score on defense. And, you know, you just have to keep the greatest quarterback of all time on the sideline as much as possible. And, I mean, it's just simple probabilities. If he has less plays and less time, he's going to score less. So, I mean, the Bills don't necessarily have to score every possession like they did in the first half against the Vikings. They just need to sustain drives and keep Rodgers off the field.
That's a good formula to beating really any of the quarterback greats in this league, is the less they have the ball in their hands, the less they can score points.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the same logic is a good basketball team. Like, you try to limit the number of possessions. You slow down what you do on offense and, you know, keep the ball out of their hands. It's the same logic. You know, limit their opportunities, and if your offense isn't as efficient as theirs, you have a better chance in a smaller sample size of plays.
I love when you can take some of those analytics kind of across sports, and that's one of my favorite things to talk about in basketball. That's why all these teams, these teams win in March Madness. These lower seeds, they shoot a lot of threes, so they can score points when they have the ball, and they don't want the other team to have the ball ever. And it's a very similar type of style you can play in pretty much any sport. When there's an offense and a defense, don't let the offense have the ball, they can't score.
Yeah, so Nate, what's your second key to the game for the Bills?
So it's kind of similar to yours. Mine is pound the rock. The Packers struggled to stop Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson, I mean, yes, he was at one point the greatest running back in the game, and he's one of the better running backs to ever play the game. But he's kind of old now, and he just torched the Packers, like 19 for 125 and two touchdowns, something. And the Redskins ran, they had like 35 carries for 170 yards against the Packers. And I think that goes towards milking the clock, as you said. And I think the Bills running backs, between all three of them, obviously LeSean McCoy coming back from injury, you can't give him too many touches. But between McCoy, Ivory, and Marcus Murphy, I think they need to have a big day on Sunday.
Yeah, and I also think it's interesting, Nate, how you mentioned how Dable appears to use Allen almost as a Cam Newton type. It, like you said, Adrian Peterson was able to kind of pound the rock straight at them. So if you can do that with those RPOs, a little bit of, you know, some triple option that they mixed in as well, and just run at them with Allen, this could be a good Chris Ivory game, because he's more of that Adrian Peterson style of runner, just run straight through people. And, you know, you can kind of limit the amount of times LeSean McCoy is getting hit, and mix Marcus Murphy in there too for a little speed back.
Yeah, so what is your third thing the Bills need to do well to beat the Packers on Sunday?
So I think it goes back to what they did against the Vikings, and that's get good field position and, you know, kind of prevent Rodgers from having good field position, because if Rodgers gets good field position, he's going to score. I mean, you can't give the Packers the ball at the 35 or the 40, because all he has to do is get 25, 30 yards and they're in field goal range. So the Bills need to, against the Vikings, their average start was at their own 40, which is just ridiculous. I don't expect that to happen again. But the way the Bills get good field position is cause turnover if you can. It's probably not going to come from Rodgers unless it's like a strip sack or something. He doesn't throw many picks. And it comes from having good special teams coverage, especially on punts. And that is something that kind of flew under the radar in that blowout against the Vikings. They played really well in coverage on kicks and punts, and that made all the difference in the game, because the Vikings averaged like a start at their own 18-yard line.
Yeah, and when you force turnovers, you get good field position. When your punter punts the way that Corey Bohork has punted against the Vikings, combined with the turnovers, that field position difference is everything, especially in a game where you are clearly not the better team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think anyone is arguing the Bills are a better team. They certainly have some better pieces than the Packers do on defense. But, I mean, like we said, they have the greatest quarterback of all time. So you have to do everything you can to help out Josh Allen to make it easier for him to score points. So, Nate, what's your third key to the game?
My third key to the game is the defense needs to prevent big plays. Aaron Rodgers, we know that Tre'Davious White will be following Devontae Adams all over the field, and he probably won't be able to do that much on Sunday. But outside of him, the Packers have three other guys that are big play threats, and that's Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb, Jimmy Graham. And the Bills they cannot allow those guys to get downfield. And that's things that killed them against both the Ravens and the Chargers, was guys just running free downfield and getting hit for big plays. And you know if a guy's open, Aaron Rodgers is going to find him. And so I think the onus is on the secondary to prevent everyone but Devontae Adams from beating you. You know Tre'Davious White is most likely going to do a job on the number one receiver every week, which should, in theory, make everyone else's job so much easier.
Yeah, in my opinion, Davante Adams is the only truly talented receiver in his own right on the Packers. Cobb is a guy that's been made by Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, and I think Geronimo Allison is the same. We've seen a whole line of wide receivers do this with the Packers under, Favre and Rodgers. But I do think Adams is really talented. I'm curious if White will follow him everywhere, because it looked like he didn't quite do that all the time with Stephon Diggs last week. It was a majority of the time, but Davante Adams can burn you if you're not careful.
I think that he will follow him around for the most part. Like you said, he wasn't always lined up against Stephon Diggs, but I think 85% of the time he was. I mean, Diggs only – I mean, he only got targeted like 8 or 9 times, and what, he had 4 catches for like 17 yards.
Yeah.
Most of that goes to Tre'Davious White. And I think most weeks for the foreseeable future, that's what he's going to be able to do to opposing number one wide receivers.
All right. So that kind of plays into – who my Bills under the radar X factor is in this game. And it looks like Philip Gaines is full go, and I'm assuming that means he's playing the other outside cornerback spot. So he's my under the radar X factor. He cannot get lost in zone coverage, man coverage, whatever they decide. He can't look silly like he did a few times against the Ravens. He wasn't awful the whole game, but the times that he was cost them enormously. So you can't have Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb running free on the other side because of Philip Gaines. He has to lock down that side of the field and, force Aaron Rodgers to just check down.
Yeah, and that is – we're going to see if we get the bad Philip Gaines or the good Philip Gaines on Sunday, because the difference is, I think, pretty vast.
Yeah. So, Nate, who's your under-the-radar X factor for the Bills?
So my underrated X factor for the Bills is a guy that Josh Allen needs to show up and be a target for him more often than not. And that's Kelvin Benjamin. I think if Kelvin Benjamin does not have a really good game on Sunday, the Bills are not going to win. I think that Benjamin needs to – if he doesn't have a game that's like 5 or 6 catches for close to 100 yards and a touchdown, it's going to be tough for the Bills to win. He is really – He's a big-bodied receiver that Josh Allen can throw the ball up to, and that's the kind of receiver that Bills want for Josh Allen. He just needs to show up and at least act like he's interested in playing football, which we haven't quite seen that yet this year.
Yeah, and your point here, Nate, if Benjamin doesn't have at least some sort of semblance of a receiver that's good or that cares about the outcome of the game or his own effort, you can make an argument for trading Kelvin Benjamin after this game if he doesn't do anything. I mean, the offense certainly isn't going to be worse without him because he hasn't done a damn thing pretty much. I mean, he has like 6 catches for 56 yards in 3 games. So you have to see something from Kelvin Benjamin, or it could be his last time as a Bill, because Brandon Bean's not afraid to deal guys like that.
Brandon Bean somehow got a draft pick for Marshall Newhouse. How do you get – who gives up a draft pick for Marshall Newhouse? Yes, it's like a 2021 conditional, like, 7th-round draft, whatever. It's still a freaking draft pick. Who gives up a draft pick for Marshall Newhouse?
Yeah, I mean, that's insane. People were ripping the Bills for giving up a 7th-round pick for Corey Coleman, who could have been a game-breaking receiver. He still has that somewhere hidden that just hasn't come out in the NFL yet. Marshall Newhouse? Like, we're going to rip the Bills over Corey Coleman, but people aren't going to say, what the hell is Carolina doing trading any sort of draft pick for Marshall Newhouse? Could have just called him up and say, hey, you want to cut him so we can sign him?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the Bills were going to get rid of him anyway. Like, it was like Brandon Bean's last-ditch effort to get something out of the deal. So, that's just – Brandon Bean is I haven't agreed with everything he's done, his style and what – especially in the trade market, it's always impressed me.
Yeah, for sure. So, Nate, who's your Packers player that's your under-the-radar X factor for this game?
So, we already talked about him a little bit in this pod, and that is Geronimo Allison. He is a big-time, big play threat. And if Aaron Rodgers has any real time to throw and he can get behind someone, he's going to throw the ball over everyone's head. On Sunday, he had 2 catches on Sunday, but they went for 76 yards and a touchdown. And You cannot allow those kinds of big plays against an Aaron Rodgers-led team.
Yeah, and Philip Gaines is definitely a guy that's susceptible to the big play. So you have to keep the ball out of Geronimo Allison's hands, particularly 40 yards down the field, which could be a problem. The Bills have two pretty good safeties, so I think they can provide some help over the top there. And that brings us back to the key of getting pressure and doing it quick so they can't let those downfield routes develop. So for me, it's going to be David Bakhtiari, the Packers' left tackle. He's probably, I doubt they double team Jerry Hughes just because Star Latulele and Kyle Williams and Harrison Phillips are all pretty good. I don't think you can double team Jerry Hughes and get away with not having, you know, the middle of your line cave straight back into Aaron Rodgers. So Bakhtiari is going to have to contain Jerry Hughes one-on-one and protect Rodgers' blind side. And his left knee, I believe it's the left knee, is the one that's hurt. So you have to protect that from Jerry Hughes, because we saw what he's capable of when you leave him one-on-one. Bakhtiari is a pretty good left tackle. He's certainly better than Riley Reiff, but he can't have a Riley Reiff-type performance in this game.
No, I'm curious to see if the Packers give Bakhtiari help, not in terms of double teaming with another lineman, but in terms of kind of chipping him with a tight end or a running back on passing plays. I think that's something that we might see, and something Leslie Frazier did to prevent the Vikings from doing that was he would just rush Milano basically on top of Jerry Hughes, and it resulted in a sack and a fumble once because the guy that was trying to block Milano just ran into Riley Reiff and let Jerry Hughes get in free. So I'll be very curious to see what the Packers do, to try to slow Jerry Hughes down, because I don't think they're just going to let him try and let Bakhtiari block Hughes one-on-one all game long.
Yeah, and one thing I will point out here, if you're an Aaron Jones fantasy football owner, I don't know if I'd start him in this game, because they really like Jamal Williams as a pass protector, and I think he's still going to see a ton of snaps as long as Aaron Rodgers' knee isn't 100% or even close to it. So I think they will use Williams a lot to help chip Jerry Hughes there and protect Aaron Rodgers' blind side.
I mean, Rodgers got sacked 4 times this past Sunday, and I would not be surprised whatsoever if that happens again this week.
All right, Nate, so that kind of leads us into our favorite segment to do of the pod, and that's the rapid-fire questions of over-under. So you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, I'll take all the odd ones here for us. So over, under, 45 total points scored in the game.
Over.
Yeah.
I think that I think it's going to be just over, but I think it's going to be over.
Yeah, looking at my score prediction, I have it just over, and it might be a late score.
So how over, under, 0.5 Josh Allen interceptions thrown?
I think he's due for one. I don't think he has one yet. And I don't know, he's a rookie quarterback. He's bound to make a mistake. I think it'll come late in the game with him trying to do some sort of hero ball, as they need a late score to tie it or, you know, give them a chance to get the ball back and win. I think it's going to be one of those scenarios, and he'll throw one.
Yeah, he threw 2 picks against the Chargers, but so he does have 2 picks this year. But, yeah, I think he's going to throw one, but I think it's going to be late in the game when the Bills are down by, you know, a touchdown, a little bit more, and they're trying to push the ball on the field. And I think that's when it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know how I forgot those two hideous picks. Well, the one hideous pick against the Chargers.
Yeah, the one wasn't as bad, but the one was really bad. One of them really wasn't even his fault. But the other one was pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm too young to have my memory failing me necessarily. All right, so over, under, 1.5 turnovers forced by the Bills' defense.
I'm going to go under. I'm going to say they forced one turnover. I'm just going to say it's going to be an Aaron Rodgers fumble when one of the linemen gets in the backfield and just lays him out. I don't think Rodgers will throw a pick, but I'm going to go with one for the Bills' defense.
Give me the over, just to be a contrarian. I agree, there will be a fumble. I'll say there'll be a pick. It won't be Rodgers' fault. It'll be one of the receivers having the ball tip off their hands or something into the safety's hands.
Okay. So going right into that, over under 279.5 passing yards for Aaron Rodgers.
Give me the over. They can't run the ball.
Yeah, so Rodgers has thrown just over 279.5 in two of the weeks and just under last week, but I think he's going to go. I think he's going to go over this week. It might take him 50 attempts, but I think he's going to go over this week.
Yeah, I mean, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. They're going to have to throw a lot. The odds are in the favor of him throwing for that much. All right, so now we'll go over under 199.5 passing yards for Josh Allen.
So I'm going to say under, but it's not going to be because Josh Allen doesn't have a decent game. I think it's going to be the Bills are going to run the ball a lot on Sunday because the Packers do struggle against the run, and I think they're going to have multiple running backs with 50 yards rushing, and Josh Allen's going to get a good share of carries himself. I think he'll be under 200 yards passing.
I think they're going to have to throw a bit more. Aaron Rodgers is much better than Kirk Cousins, obviously. I think the Packers will be playing ahead in the second half, and I think that will be helpful to Allen's yardage numbers. I think he'll go just over. I'll give him like 210.
So going off of that, over under the longest touchdown, 19.5 yards.
Give me the over. Phillip Gaines will get beat for one longer than 19.5 yards. I know that sounds kind of mean and pessimistic, but I think they're due to give up a longer one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be over, too. I think both quarterbacks, you got two big-arm quarterbacks, a couple of wide receivers on either side that are pretty fast. Robert Foster is going to get behind the defense at least once. I think Phillip Gaines is going to get beat at least once. One of those times, there's going to be a touchdown pass that's 30, 40 yards plus.
All right, so now we'll go defensive or special teams touchdown, yes or no in this game. It's been no all three. Are we due for one, Nate?
I think not yet. I think not yet. I think there's going to be a few turnovers on either side, but I think there's going to be no defensive or special teams touchdown this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see it happening for the Bills or the Packers unless, you know, someone's able to run a kickback. I don't think that'll happen against the Bills coverage unit.
So the Bills offensive line, are they going to surrender more or less than 2.5 sacks on Sunday?
See, I always struggle with this one because I think there'll be three sacks credited to the Packers. I'm not sure all three will be attributed to the Bills' offensive line. It'll probably be Allen and his youthfulness of waiting for something to open up downfield and waiting too long. So I guess, yes, they will allow more than 2.5 sacks. It won't all be the Bills' fault or the Bills' offensive line fault.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills have allowed 14 sacks this year in three games. That's a lot more than 2.5 per game, right? So I'm going to go with the over. That is, hopefully that trend does not continue. But 14 sacks is a lot of sacks.
Yeah, for sure. So the Bills defense finally showed some life last week. Over under 2.5 sacks for them in this game.
I'm going to go with the over for this one as well. I mean, the Packers have allowed 12 sacks this year, only two less than the Bills, and they allowed four last week. And I think they're going to allow three or four this week to the Bills defense.
I think they're going to adjust and make sure they really take care of Aaron Rodgers this week. I think the Bills get two. One of them will be a strip sack.
The fumble. I'm like, Aaron Rodgers has not thrown a pick yet this year, but he's fumbled in two of the three games. So that is a much more likely thing to happen than him throwing a pick. So we got over-under for the Bills, 2.5 touchdowns scored.
Yeah, give me, I'll take the under here. I think they score two and they kick two field goals.
I was going to say, looking at your score prediction, you kind of got to take the under for this one.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to like miss an extra point, but who knows. I'm gonna go with the under as well. I think they're going to score exactly two touchdowns on Sunday.
All right. So the last one, over under largest lead of 10.5 points for either team in the game.
I'm going to go with under. I think that it's going to be a relatively close game the entire way down, and no one is going to really open up any kind of a big lead because of the style that the Bills are going to try to play on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a lot of back and forth here. I'll go under on 10.5 points for the largest lead. Nate, what's your final score prediction?
So my final score prediction is Packers 28, Bills 17. And I think that the Packers are going to just cover that line, and they're going to get a that's going to come with a late touchdown in the fourth quarter.
All right, so just looking at the last time the Bills and Packers played, it was 2014. It was the game where Rodgers went 17 of 42 and threw two picks. I don't think that happens again. Bakari Rambo won't be there to pick off Rodgers twice. I'm going Packers 27 to 20.
So that game was in Buffalo, though, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so I think that's a big thing is the Bills, to my knowledge, and I'd have to confirm this. Actually, give me a second. I am going to look this up because I think the Bills have never scored maybe one time, but I think it's never scored a passing touchdown at Lambeau Field. And I'm going to find that real quick because I know I'm almost positive.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Josh Allen gets one passing touchdown to break that curse on Sunday because I don't think that Packers defense is very scary at all.
So the Bills at Lambeau Field, they have one. Okay, 1974. Okay, I did, but 1974 is the one time they threw a passing touchdown at Lambeau Field. So that is a that is the fun stat for this week.
All right, Nate. I think they'll hopefully get another one. It's been long enough. So hopefully the Bills can get us to 2-2. That would be fun if they can come back to New Era Field against the Titans next week at 2-2, you know, potentially with a chance to tie for a lead in the division if the Dolphins lose a couple games. So that brings us to an end of episode 30 of the Bills Breakdown podcast. I am your co-host, Alex Pollinger.
And I am Nate Shriver.
Subscribe, download, give us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts so others can give it a listen. Feel free to share the pod with a friend. You can follow us along on Twitter on game day at Bills_Breakdown. We also have a Facebook page at Bills Breakdown. Feel free to send any feedback, comments, anything at BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.